Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Sizzle Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.
Good morning, East. I can't wait till we can sing together in person again, but let's sing together right now.
Morning, I see you in the sunrise every night. It's like a picture that you painted for me, a love letter in the sky. Story, I could have had a really different story, but you came down from heaven to restore. You as long as I am breathing. mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. All-knowing, He counts not their sum, thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. And what patience would wait as we constantly roam. What falls so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Amen, amen. As we gather again on this final Sunday of the month of April, seems like the month of April has lasted about 3 months, but we hopefully are making our way through this journey as we fight through this new season of life. And to say the least, it's been an exciting week in Vernon Parish. And last Sunday night, we had the storms that came through, and I just want to give a shout of praise to the Lord that no harm was done, no lives were lost. The damage was extensive in some places, but could have been much greater. And so we rejoice in the fact that God spared it from being greater damage than it was. But what encouraged my heart, one, I got to see several of our church members as I went and checked on folks. And then to see our body come together and our community come together and to serve one another in that time and to help take care of one another. What a blessing to see that and to see the hands and feet of Jesus. That is what we are about, loving God, loving people, seeking the lost, and making disciples. And in all these trials, as we continue to walk through this season that we're walking through. May we be reminded of the words in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that we know all things work together for the good. Doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I pray that you'll keep your focus on Jesus, and that no matter what the circumstances that we're right now going through and that we might face in the days ahead, that we understand he is working it together for our good and for his glory. What a promise. And I pray that we would take hold and continue to hold to that promise. We continue in our study of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, making our way through verse 20. And really, one of the neatest and exciting stories in the whole ministry of Paul. It's one that I have looked forward to as we get there. It's one that I think gives us great reminders and encouragement of the power and the presence of God, but also some warnings not to count in our own strength and in our own praise, but to always turn to the strength of God and to the praise and glory of God alone. And so we look as Paul is now making his way to Ephesus. He'd been there shortly at the end of the second missionary journey. He said he would come back, and then he left and went back to Antioch, and now he's making his way back, and he's going to be centered here in Ephesus for most of his third missionary journey. We pick up the text in Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to see that phrase, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, a few times in this text. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Paul has made his way back to Ephesus. The scripture tells us that Apollos is in Corinth. We talked about Apollos last week. He had a great ministry there in Ephesus, and then he was commissioned by the church, sent over to Achaia, and we see him now in verse 1 in the city of Corinth. And as Paul is making his way into the city there of Ephesus, he finds a group of, it says, about 12 men, that they were just like Apollos. They had only received the baptism of John. They had heard about Jesus. They had heard some of the story, but they had not yet received the whole message. And as Paul asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit, they said they didn't know that it had come a place for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus, laid hands on them, and the Spirit descended upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they had heard the whole story. They were walking in what they knew, but did not yet have the finished work of Christ working in their lives, and had not yet received the great gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes when we are saved now and indwells us and empowers us, gives us the strength to follow Jesus day by day. We should not do this in our own strength. We need to do this in the strength of God and God alone. They had a partial understanding. They had John's baptism, a baptism of repentance, looking toward the Messiah. But now they found out that the Messiah had come. He had finished the task, and then they received the promise that we received, a baptism of not just repentance, but a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is looking back to the finished work of Jesus on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel. Paul is back in Ephesus. He's fulfilling his promise that we saw in Acts chapter 18, verse 21. Hey, he had been in Ephesus just a little while. They asked him to stay longer. He said, "I've got to go, but if the Lord wills," Acts 18, 21. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." And he set sail from Ephesus. And now he's fulfilled that promise. And after he met these 12 men, he ministered to them. He began to minister in the city. And we see a description of that ministry beginning in verse 8. Look at verse 8. And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. For 3 months, he was able to stand in the Jewish synagogue and proclaim and reason and persuade mainly Jewish men that Jesus was the Messiah. But then they kind of grew tired of this. And it says that after a while, their hearts became hard and they became stubborn. Look there in verse 9. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, they began to speak evil of the way before the congregation. Paul withdrew. He withdrew from them, and he took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so 3 months and then 2 years. This is one of the longest seasons of ministry that Paul has on any of his journeys, for 2 years. So that, listen, all of the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. For 3 months, he spoke boldly in the synagogue, reasoning and persuading them. Opposition arose. They were stubborn. They were in their unbelief. They began to speak evil of the way. There was persecution that began to arise. So Paul withdrew himself from the synagogue, and he went into Tyrannus, his lecture hall. It's kind of like a community building or a schoolhouse, and he would teach there day by day for 2 years. And the results of this, listen, is that all of Asia, all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. You remember earlier when Paul was trying to travel on his missionary journeys, when he ended up going to Macedonia, to Philippi? Do you remember that he kept trying to go to Asia? But God stopped him. He wasn't able. The Spirit of God stopped him. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus stopped him. If you remember the text back in earlier in Acts, he really wanted to go to Asia, but he ended up in Macedonia. But now we're reminded of Brother Jimmy Draper's sermon that God's plan is always better, because in God's timing and in God's way, Paul wasn't able to minister to just some of Asia. It says that all the residents of Asia had heard the word of the Lord, Jews and Greeks, that God had moved mightily. He'd been unable to venture further into Asia, but now God had taken the gospel to every resident in Asia. Listen, next week will be an interesting event in the latter part of chapter 19, and the people that were against Paul gave testimony to how effective his ministry had been. He had been so effective that the ones that were building idols, that were making idol statues, recognized how incredibly effective Paul's ministry had been. Acts chapter 19, verse 26 says this: "And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods." Even his enemies recognized that something incredibly vast was happening. And in God's plan and in God's timing, God was doing more than Paul could have ever imagined to be doing. I've been reminded of this. Things are happening right now. We're not able to do things the way we want to do things. We're not able to have things the way that we thought we would have things. But we need to trust, and we need to understand that God is not wasting this season. May we not waste this season either. And I believe with all my heart that on the other side, that sometime in the future, we'll be able to look back and see, wow, we can tell what God was up to. But even if we can't ever see it, we can trust that God is working it all together for our good and for His glory. I think we'll see a glimpse of it. I think we'll understand it more in the years to come. But even if we don't, we can trust His promise that this is not wasted time. God is up to something. He always is. And can I just remind us, like Paul found out, it's bigger than what we thought it might be. It'll make a greater impact than what we thought what we were going to do was going to make. Because God will be glorified. He ministers there for over 2.5 years, probably closer to 3 years. His ministry is marked by just incredible power of God and blessing of God. Look at verse 11. We continue to see the spiritual confirmation of Paul's ministry there. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Listen, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Even the handkerchiefs that he would wipe his brow as he was making tents, or the aprons that he would wear as he was doing his labor that he would sweat in, those were given to the sick, and they would touch it, and God was healing them, not because Paul was so great, but because his God is so great. It was a confirmation. These miracles were done to show compassion to those that needed the miracle, but to confirm that this was different than what they were seeing. Listen, Ephesus was full of idolatry and false gods, and God was showing, hey, I am the only true God. You need to hear the message that this man and these people are proclaiming. Similar to how he confirmed the ministry of the early church and the apostles, and particularly Peter. If you look in Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, it says this: Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they all were all together in Solomon's porch. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets, and they laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. There is continual confirmation, but it's not about the miracles that Paul is being able to be a part of. It wasn't about the miracles that the apostles and Peter were being able to be a part of. Not primarily. Primarily, it's about the miracle and the gospel that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose from the grave, and we have victory over sin, death, the grave, disease, everything else through that gospel. Not everybody will be physically healed, but every believer will be healed, primarily of sin, but then of all the other things that give us fear in this world. They will be destroyed. They will be no more when we are with Christ. Why? Through the power of the gospel. God is confirming in incredible ways the ministry of Paul and the power of the gospel. But almost anywhere in the scripture where you see movement of God, you'll see the imitation, the counterfeit of Satan and the enemy trying to establish some type of attention as well. And we see this beginning in chapter 19, verse 13. Look at the text. And some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. They had the right name. They had the right source. They didn't have the right relationship. They didn't have the connection. They were trying to do it in their strength. The way I've entitled this, some begin to try and do God-sized things with man-sized power, and that's always dangerous. Did you hear me? They were trying to do God-sized things with man-sized power. They had the right name, just not the right authority. They had the right name, but not the right motive. They sought the glory and the attention for themselves. There was many of them, but then in verse 14, Luke gives us an example of some of these Jewish exorcists that were trying to do what Paul was doing. Seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them. I don't know why I find this passage humorous. It's really kind of sad, but they thought they were going to do something and bring some attention to themselves, and they got a whole lot more than they bargained for. They came to a God-sized situation with man-sized power. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, this is the evil spirit in this man talking, but who are you? Man, that would have been bad enough. But then in the next verse it says, and the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, Remember now, there's seven of them, leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? They went to fight a God-sized battle with a man-sized power. They were beaten, disrobed, and humiliated. We see in Scripture that there's times where demons can influence unusual physical power. Jesus saw this in his ministry. We see it back in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. You remember the Gerasene that there by the tombs, they would chain him up. It says, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. This is some interesting study. Listen, you don't want to mess with these kind of things without the power of Jesus. You don't want to dabble in these things for your own glory and for your own benefit. You don't want to play around with these things. We have all power, but it's not in us. It's in Christ Jesus. Let us not forget that. Look at verse 17. There's a holy reverence, but I don't believe it was a paralyzing fear for those that walked with Jesus. A holy reverence, but not a paralyzing fear. Look what happened. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus. The news spread around the entire town, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And listen, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. To be extolled means to be exalted or glorified or lifted up. The name of Jesus was praised. The men that Paul met in the beginning of the chapter, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Jewish exorcists, even though they had the wrong motivation and they didn't have the right relationship, they did have the right name. They tried to, in the name of Jesus that Paul talks about. But here we see, because of the power of God, that name, the name of Jesus, is exalted. It's lifted high. And when God is moving, when God is genuinely changing things in a region, that's who will be glorified. It won't be the name of a preacher. It won't even be the name of a musician or a church. It will be the name of Jesus that is exalted. Jesus himself said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Our world doesn't need religion, they need Jesus. Acts 4, when Peter and John had healed the lame man, you remember the story in Acts 4, they had healed the lame man and everybody's like, how in the world did they do this? And verse 8, the Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." You see the gospel right there? Crucified, buried, resurrected. "By him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." My friends, don't ever forget, there is something about that name, Jesus. He is exalted. He's lifted up. He's praised. But another thing that happens when you see God move: first, Jesus will be exalted. It'll be about Jesus. It'll be about the name of Jesus. But as Jesus is exalted and we begin to see Jesus for more of who he is and more rightly who he is, what happens next is, for those that are believers, conviction of sin comes. Because see, when we see the glory and the holiness of Christ, it reminds us of our sinfulness. But he doesn't leave us there. Look what happens there in the text. In verse 18, "Also many of those who were now believers," these are believers, "came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to be about 50,000 pieces of silver. When Jesus is high and lifted up, he draws men and women to himself. But as we see the glory of God, it reminds us of our sinfulness, but we don't stay in our sinfulness. It convicts us. The Spirit convicts us of sin. But then they confess their sin, and they show repentance of their sin by turning away from those things, even so much in this case as burning the materials they use to practice those things they shouldn't practice. Over 50,000 pieces of silver. This was either a pile that was burning that was several thousand dollars worth or several million, depending on what type of measurement of silver it was. But it was a lot of money. It wasn't just something that was unimportant. It was valuable. But what was more valuable to them was to be right with God. Some of us need to let go of some things that are valuable to us, because to be right with God is more valuable to us. And I promise you, as R.G. Lee shared the testimony of a man that he had witnessed to for years, and on his deathbed, he said, "The devil pays, but it's always counterfeit." The devil make you think you got something, but it's not worth anything. The devil make you think something's worth hanging on to, but all it'll do is destroy you and leave you empty. But God is always, always, always ready to receive you when you repent and return to him. He loves you even before you repent, but he's able to receive you, forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Then we see the advancement of the gospel. Look at verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. That's what happens next. Listen, when God's moving, it'll be about the name of Jesus. When God's moving, those that belong to Jesus, and even some that don't belong to Jesus, will be convicted of sin, but God is able to make us right with him. And his gospel will advance. Look at the language. It continued to increase and prevail mightily. It was exploding. Every resident in the whole continent of Asia heard the good news. Many of them responded, so much so that those that were in the business of making idols and false gods, they were scared to death that their business would fall by the wayside. God is moving in such incredible ways. We'll talk more next week. There's always opposition. There's always some level of persecution. But God continues to move. What are your takeaways? I want you to see three takeaways from the text today. Number one, don't be satisfied with religion, but flourish in a relationship with Jesus. Don't be satisfied with just the head knowledge of what it means to know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you. Know in your heart and walk and flourish in a relationship with the living Son of God, trusting in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Don't do religion. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with the living Son of God, Christ Jesus, who died for you, who was buried for you, and rose from the grave for you and for me. Second, we need to take sin seriously. When the Spirit of God convicts us, that is one of the greatest evidences that you are a child of God, is when you're convicted of sin. Don't take that lightly. That is a great gift that God loves us so much that he would convict us of those things that are harmful for us and that don't glorify him. And when he convicts, we need to confess and we need to repent. There's great joy and restoration in repentance. And finally, I want you to take from this text, God has called us to a God-sized task to make disciples of all the nations. Let us not make the mistake of attempting God-sized tasks with man-sized power. Our mission is not changing. Our mission is the same as it's always been: to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. To love people, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another the way that Christ has loved us, to seek the lost. Listen, there are more people right now asking questions about eternity than at any time, probably in decades, because they have been reminded of how fragile life is. May they see Jesus in us, but may they see a Jesus that is chasing after them through us. To make disciples. How does God want to grow you? as we walk through this journey, as we walk through this season, as we walk through this journey called life, not even thinking about what we're in right now, but the very existence of life itself is a journey to follow after and become more like Jesus and help others become more like Jesus. It's a God-sized task. But we have access to God-sized power through the Spirit that dwells in us. The very Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. If you have been saved, He dwells in you and He dwells in me. Let us not quench the Spirit, but may He work and move in us like never before. Not something new or better. There's not anything better than the gospel, what we already have. But something more full and complete, more sanctified, more like Jesus, that we might see God do in Vernon Parish and in the U.S. and in the world like He did in Ephesus. Everybody heard. Jesus was exalted. People were convicted of sin and were made right with God, and His message moved forward mightily, that even those that were against it had to recognize that there was something incredible happening. That's what I'm praying for. I pray that's what you're praying for. I pray you have that relationship, because you can't have any of those other things until that relationship has been established. That you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God's raised you from the dead, and that you've been saved. But let's not be satisfied. May we desire more of Him. And may He move in ways and in power unlike we've seen in our lifetimes. Pray with me. Father, thank You for the encouragement of Your word. Even though Paul faced some persecution and people talking bad about the way and being necessary to move out of the synagogue and into the schoolhouse or the meeting hall, Lord, You blessed the ministry far beyond what he probably even imagined. You were doing great works and miracles through the ministry there. There was counterfeit that was trying to steal the glory from themselves, but You were exalted. And Lord, remind us, we serve the same God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we desire, and may we desire more, and may You burn in us a greater burden to see an incredible movement of God. Whatever needs to happen in us, may You accomplish that. Lord, may we have a heart that says, Lord, here we are. We're listening. Let us hear what You would have us to hear. Let us do what You would have us to do, and may You be glorified beyond anything we could ever even think or imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His blood.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Cecil Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.